Biden's mind is gone. The fact that Biden wants to stay in the race is a symptom of why he should leave.
Everyone saw it. The debate was a disaster for Biden. Since then, there's been more turmoil. There's been back and forth. Biden saying, I'm not getting out. People are saying he should get out. The Democratic Party is melting down. So we've got our man on the scene, Jim Rickards, former advisor to the Pentagon, CIA, White House, with the story that he has been ahead of for months, many, many months. October 23rd, 2023, we published the first black and white version of saying Biden is going to be replaced in between the end of the primaries and the DNC. Here we are in the thick of it, and we might see it unfold. So, Jim, get us caught up here. What happened with the debate? What's happening now? What could happen next? There is a lot going on.
Well, it's a great question, Matt. You know, I do a lot of forecasting. We have models, we use predictive analytics and so forth, and we've had a lot of success with that. But it kind of presupposes that the people you're studying know what they're doing, but they haven't told anyone. And your job is to figure it out. It's kind of like intelligence gathering, actually. And as I said, we've had a pretty good track record of that. The problem now is that the people in charge don't know what they're doing. So you're trying to forecast something where the people who you're forecasting themselves have no idea what's going on. So everyone has a theory. Everyone has a scenario. And we're going to talk about some of those, but I'm going to start with the fact that this is a little bit unusual in the sense that the targets or objects are intelligence collection, if you want to put it that way, are in complete confusion themselves. So we'll go back to the debate. Yeah, that was a disaster, but it was a disaster of a particular kind. It wasn't sometimes, you know, people would get the wrong answers to the question, or they put their foot in their mouth or something like that. That's not what happened. What happened was that Biden showed the entire world that he cannot process thoughts. He cannot speak. He cannot focus on the question. He cannot answer currently. These are cognitive problems. These are mental problems. This isn't, you know, lack of, you know, any lack of preparation or, you know, didn't do his homework or anything of the kind. He can't do his homework because he's not all there. And the idea that he's a little older and he slowed down a little bit, that's all nonsense. I mean, yeah, everybody, as they get older, maybe you lose the fastball a little bit. But, you know, Henry Kissinger was writing books when he was close to 100 years old. Bernie Sanders is in his mid-80s. He's still sharp and feisty. I don't agree with Bernie Sanders, but I'll give him credit for being articulate and being, kind of on top of his game. This is not an age problem. This is a dementia problem. Now, here's the point, Matt. I would have said the same thing in 2020. I did say the same thing in 2020. And even before that, remember Biden's basement campaign and, Trump was holding stadium rallies with 25,000 people and Biden was in a drive-in movie theater with cars. You're supposed to come to the rally in your car and flash your lights, but there'd be like 10 cars. But it was mostly the basement strategy. But what it was really about was keeping him under wraps, giving him as little exposure as possible. And they were able to do it partly under the cover of COVID, because the whole world was locked down. The whole world was frightened. So to say, well, like, here's an older guy, he's got to stay in his basement, we don't want him to get COVID. It was a lie, but there was some plausibility to it that enabled them to get away with it. They can't do that now. There's COVID's over. We never should have had the policies we did at the time. It's long over. So now you have to put him out there. And remember, it was Biden who challenged Trump to the debate. And that's important. Trump said yes. And a lot of people were surprised. Like, wait a second. Why are you agreeing? You know, CNN, Jake Tapper, no audience, mute the microphone. You're agreeing to all these rules that would seem to work against Trump. But Trump knew as well as we did, and we told readers about this 9 months ago, that Biden actually couldn't stand up on the stage, couldn't hold up his... There was a little bit tongue in cheek, but I said, if I were Trump, I would have given Biden my time. The more Biden spoke, the worse it got. The more it became apparent to everyone that he was mentally deficient, cognitively deficient, and very far along. You just couldn't cover it up anymore. So what's happened since then? Well, the media have completely turned on Biden, but I think it's important to understand that the media are rats deserting a sinking ship. Biden's going down. We'll talk about that, specifically now. But the media are just, he's not fit to be president. We need Kamala Harris. We need, you know, another candidate. Biden has to withdraw. Where were you a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago? Where were you 6 months ago when this condition was apparent? The answer is NBC, ABC, CBS, Washington Post, New York Times, and the rest. They were part of the cover-up. They didn't think Biden was this bad. And that was really where the debate was the tipping point. They knew he had slowed a lot. He couldn't process a lot of things. He couldn't speak without garbling his words. But they thought, well, okay, but he's got enough left. He's got enough coherence left that he can still be president, especially if he does what the progressives and the liberal media want him to do, which he had been doing all along. But somehow they could kind of muddle through this. But they were part of the cover-up. They went along with it. They were the ones reporting, you know, he's sharp as a tack. If you had to work with Biden, you couldn't keep up with him. You know, he would kind of wear other people down. He was so, you know, so dynamic and so forth, which were all lies. But the media played along with it. So now to see the media turning around and saying, oh, he's not fit for office. Well, I agree with that. But again, I don't give them any credit for that because they're just doing what is inevitable. And again, I would fault them, hold them, you know, pretty much in scorn for having joined the cover-up or having participated in the cover-up all along. There were voices, ourselves included, our newsletter, Strategic Intelligence, you know, Tucker Carlson, Fox you know, News to some extent. There were people pointing this out, but they were ridiculed. They were, you know, et cetera. They were kind of run off the road when, in fact, they had it right. So now the whole world knows it. Mm-hmm. So the question now, Matt, is where, you know, where do we go from here? Now, what's interesting is that a certain number of politicians, not as many as one might have expected. I think we're up to 7 or 8 House members, no senators so far, no governors so far, plus the media saying Biden has to leave the race. And, you know, then that opens up a whole other issue, which is, well, if he does leave, who's going to be the replacement? Who's going to be the candidate for the Democratic nomination for president? And James Clyburn, not a household name, but very powerful politician, senior Democrat, kind of controls the African-American vote to some extent, certainly down in South Carolina he does. He said, let's have some mini primaries. Let's have like a lightning round primary, if you want to call it that, where Biden withdraws and we take, you know, Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer, Jay Pritzker, you know, maybe one or two others, and maybe there are 5 of them, however many, and has bring back Pete Buttigieg, and they do some like real quick debates, and then the people, I don't know who the people are, unless it's the party leadership, you know, pick one. And I love that. Well, I think, I mean, it's a ridiculous idea, but I love the fact that who's the party, you know, they're saying Trump threat to democracy, the Republicans are a threat to democracy, they're going to destroy democracy. It's the Democrats who are destroying democracy. They want to take a 7-month primary process where Joe Biden got thousands of delegates, which he won in all the primaries. RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., wanted to contest in the Democratic primary. Who's more Democrat than the Kennedy family? He wanted to compete with Biden. They ran him off the road. They told the state of New Hampshire, where I happen to live, New Hampshire is traditionally, and by law, actually has to have the first primary. The Democratic National Committee said, no, you can't have the first primary. It has to be South Carolina, because that's very favorable to Biden. And then New Hampshire said, the heck with you, we're going to do it anyway. And the DNC, Democratic National Committee, said, well, okay, but then your delegates don't count at the convention. If you want to have the first primary, we're not going to count your delegates. Finally, RFK had to leave the Democratic Party and run as an independent. So my point being, they have trashed the Democratic process going into the primaries. And now that the primaries are done and Biden won, has enough delegates to win the nomination, they want to trash that and do some kind of improvised ad hoc, you know, mini primary, whatever you want to call it. So the Democrats are just tearing up the rule book as they go along, making new rules, trashing democracy, ignoring the will of at least the Democratic voters in the primary process. Yet somehow we're supposed to believe that Trump's a threat to democracy. So that's just pure hypocrisy. So the media is hypocritical because they knew all along and they participated in the cover up. The party is hypocritical because they say they're pro-democracy, but they're throwing democracy out the window to come up with an expedient solution. And then where would that go? You know, in this mini primary scenario, who knows? It's kind of like what they call an open convention. That's where everybody shows up at the Democratic National Convention, August 19th in Chicago. And you just fight it out on the floor. You might have, it doesn't have to be first round voting. It could be the 10th round or the 15th round, et cetera. By the way, the last open convention in U.S. politics with the two major political parties was 1952. It was Robert Taft and Dwight Eisenhower, and then Dwight Eisenhower got the nomination. But 1952 was the last time we really, that either party went to a convention without kind of knowing the outcome in advance. That's chaos. They want to try to avoid that with this mini primary thing. But there's one problem. Biden refuses to leave the stage. Biden won those primaries between January and June. Biden has those delegates pledged to him. He's not leaving. They thought, well, okay, enough pressure, enough donors, you know, refuse to give contributions, enough media say he has to leave, enough politicians agree, et cetera, that somehow you could force Biden out, but he's not leaving. And yeah, the debate was disastrous. We all know that. And for the reasons I mentioned, it showed his physical and mental inability, not because he got a couple facts and figures wrong. But now he's on a, I don't know what the best way to describe it, damage control is what it is. But he's doing radio interviews. He called into Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski the other day. A couple speeches, trying to show that he's with it, and can hold his own. The problem is, it's having the opposite effect. When he tries to do these things, he's still garbling his words. He's still not all there. So he's digging a deeper hole. But in his own mind, Biden thinks he's the only guy who can beat Trump, and he's going to see this through. And here, there are two problems. There are two really serious problems. One, Biden's mind is gone. The fact that Biden wants to stay in the race is a symptom of why he should leave. In other words, he's completely incapable of being a candidate, completely incapable of being president, but he doesn't know it. When your mind, when it goes to a certain point, you actually are the last person who understands yourself. There's no self-awareness, no ability to judge yourself. He's always been a narcissist. He's a mean-spirited individual. This whole persona they created is Scranton Joe, Six-Pack Joe, Amtrak Joe was always a fraud. I don't mean the last 4 years. I mean the last 50 years. It was always a fraud. He's mean, nasty. I'll skip the vulgarity, but I think listeners know where I'm going with this. His staff were afraid of him. And that's the other thing. His staff is shrinking, not in terms of headcount, the people are still there, but the number of people who actually have access to the president is down to like five or six. It's, Taco Jill, Jill Biden's wife, Hunter Biden, a convicted felon, but he's in the room. Ron Klain, who was his first chief of staff, Anita Dunn, who was the campaign manager, and a couple others, but that probably his sister Valerie, and other members of the Biden crime family, Jimmy, Frankie, and Valerie. But that's it. They're the only ones with any kind of access. So even people in the White House who have important supporting positions can't see Biden on a day-to-day basis. So and just as an aside, although it's an important aside, we're talking about this, Matt, in terms of the nomination for president, campaign, and running through November 5th, Election Day, and becoming the next president of the United States. But Biden is not fit to be president today. Forget about the candidacy and the nomination, the election. Put all that to one side. He's the president of the United States today. We've got two major wars going on, probably on our way to three or four. Ukraine, we've talked and written a lot about that. Gaza, the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. There is about to be another war in northern Israel on the Lebanese border with Hezbollah. Israel has Hamas is in the south and Hezbollah is in the north. Hezbollah are Shiites backed by Iran. Hamas are actually Sunnis. They are backed by Iran, but they're not. The connection is not as tight with Iran as it is with Hezbollah. But Hezbollah, they open up another front. And then you have the Houthis, these rebels in Yemen, have shut down the Suez Canal, which is one of the major transportation arteries in the world, world shipping, world trade, and the Suez Canal is shut down. The commercial vessel operators are sending their vessels around South Africa, Cape of Good Hope. I've been there. It's a beautiful place, but it's a long way from the Suez Canal. So these are serious, serious problems. Wars, we're on an escalatory path. You cannot rule out World War III nuclear weapons. I wish you could, but you cannot, given the amount of escalation that's going on in Ukraine against Russia, which is a nuclear power, of course. Israel is a nuclear power, for that matter. And yet we've got a guy who barely knows where he is, who has to be, it's one thing to get a little, a cheat sheet or something. If you're going to meet some person you've never met before, tell you a little bit about them or whatever. That's just doing your homework. But Biden needs flashcards to show him where to walk onto a stage, not, what your remarks are going to be. That's all on the teleprompter. But literally where to walk on the stage. So yeah. Again, that shows how far gone he is.
So I guess let's take this to a broader question, because we've all sort of seen it. Debate was a disaster. The points you're making are absolutely correct, where this was something that was hidden for much longer time. You've been keeping your readers ahead of it for at least since October 2023, where you said it very specifically, that you thought Biden was going to get replaced and it would happen after the primaries, before the DNC. We're now in that zone. Is there anything here? Like Biden, I agree, he's kind of done. He's cooked. The Democrats seem like they're cooked. Is there anything that they could do to pull out of this thing? Or does Trump have a pretty easy road from here? Any thoughts on just the big picture of who's going to win this battle when it comes to November?
Well, every indication, things can change. We know that. We always update our forecast. But every indication is that Trump's going to win this election. Not only win it, but it's sort of shaping up as maybe an electoral college landslide. And just to be clear, people look at the popular vote polling. I use, a lot of people use Real Clear Politics poll, which is a useful tool. It takes 20 or 25 separate polls and averages them. It lags a little bit because not everybody polls every day, but it's a real good guide. Trump's ahead in the popular vote by about 4 points right now. People go, well, that's pretty close, Well, first of all, it's not that close. Secondly, Trump has never been ahead. Trump was behind in 2016 when he won. He was behind the entire campaign season in 2020. We don't have to get into, rigging the 2020 election. Maybe we'll save that for topic for another day. But Trump's actually ahead. So the fact that he's ahead at all is extraordinary. But that is not how we do elections. We do not have a national election. 50 state by state elections plus DC, Washington DC, they get 3 electoral votes. And what you do is you win a state with 2 exceptions, Nebraska and Maine. It's winner take all. So if you win a state, even by a thin margin, you get all the electoral votes in that state. You need 270 to win. Trump could be on track for something like 330. That's an electoral college landslide. You're really leaving Biden in the dust. And we, for months now, we've focused on the 7 battleground states. In other words, it's like, oh, yeah, Biden's just going to win, 20 or so, and Trump's going to win 20 or so. Biden's going to win California no matter what, and Trump's going to win Alabama no matter what. And you kind of narrow it down to 10 states, and really 7 that matter, where it is close and it's going to determine the outcome of the election. So those 7 states are Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, and Nevada. They were the 7 swing states. Well, what's happened now is, first of all, Trump's ahead in all 7 of those. If Trump just the states he took last time, plus Arizona and Georgia. And then if he does that, and he's in very good shape to do that, then North Carolina, he only has to win 1 out of 3. Take Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Trump only has to win 1 of those states to be elected president. Biden has to run the table. He would have to win all 3 of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Right now, he's behind in all three. So if that's all the information you had, you would say Trump is on a path to victory. But what Trump has done, he's widened the battlefield. Now, when you look at the list of swing states, they're like, yeah, it's the seven I mentioned, but they're also including Minnesota, New Hampshire, Virginia. These were considered safe states for Biden. Now they're in play. Now Biden is ahead, but just by a little bit in the polls, 2 or 3%. You got a long time between now and November. You could easily, particularly with Biden's performance and what he's doing, you could easily turn that 2 or 3% around and put those in the Trump column. Believe it or not, some people think Trump could take New Jersey. I happen to agree with them, by the way. I think Trump in the end might take Minnesota, New Hampshire, New Jersey, and Virginia, and who knows what else. At that point, you're into landslide territory, kind of thing that Ronald Reagan did in 1984. So Trump's in very good shape to take the election, which is why the Democrats are in complete panic, because they know it. They're, you know, it's not like I have secret polls. We're all looking at the same polls, all doing the same analysis, and maybe coming at it from a different perspective. But this is definitely Trump's to lose. But it gets worse than that for Democrats, because if Biden is that weak, it affects what they call the down ballot races. Down ballot is senator, House Representative, and governor, and even some local elected officials, where if your party, it doesn't mean, you know, certain Democrats are going to go out for Trump, they'll never for Trump, but they might just stay home. It affects the turnout. The turnout is a big deal. It's a big factor in this kind of analysis. Or some of them may go for RFK Jr. or Jill Stein or Cornel West. They're on the ballot. They're not going to get a big percentage of the vote, but as I say, even 2 or 3 or 4%, maybe a little higher in the case of RFK Jr., that's enough to skew the outcome again, very much in favor of Trump. So the Democrats are desperate to get Biden to step aside. They think they'll do better with Kamala Harris, but which I doubt. I think she will be an awful candidate. She does have dementia. Biden has dementia. Kamala Harris does not have dementia, but she's a dunce. She's just not that smart. People see all these video clips of speeches where she wasn't under any particular pressure. She wasn't on a debate stage with 30 million people watching. She was just giving a speech, and she can't. She doesn't garble her words like Biden, but she does these sing-songy, nursery rhyme quality, circular repetitions that don't mean anything. That's Kamala Harris. And that, if people don't know that, they soon will. Mm-hmm. She becomes the nominee. So the Democrats have no good ways out.
All right. Well, Jim, we've said it almost every month and week this year. This is a Jim Rickards world. We've got a lot of different things happening out here, and you're the man with the insight and the premonition. A lot of this stuff, you've called it happening. Now it's unfolding. So we'll have you back on. We want to get your take soon enough. We'll see what happens with the DNC. We'll see what happens as we get closer to the election. But as you can see, if you're at home, this might be a Trump election, and now's the time to start thinking what that could mean for, you know, you, your investments, you know, where America goes from here. And that's another thing that we'll be covering here at Paradigm on our YouTube channel and everywhere else. So, Jim, thanks a lot for taking the time out of your busy schedule. And everyone at home, give us a like, give us a subscribe, and we'll see y'all next time. Thanks.